Good morning. And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Pastor Perry said I had a challenging text today, and I said I got a great text today. And I'll just tell you that the Lord has been speaking to me, and I'm going to share it later in the sermon. But this is a great text, and it is the words of Jesus. Amen. We begin at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. We are called to be different than our world and culture. And you've never heard that before, right? Okay. Our culture believes in universal salvation, which is a false teaching. Our culture says it doesn't matter how we live, we are all going to heaven. If we are all living basically good lives, then we are good people and shouldn't fear judgment. After all, God is love, and He wouldn't send anyone to hell, which means even bad people go to heaven. Is that true? No. God is love, but He is also all just, and He is holy. Amen? Matthew Henry writes, "The gate is straight. Conversion and regeneration are the gate by which we enter into this way, in which we begin a life of faith and serious godliness. Out of a state of sin and into a state of grace, we must pass by the new birth. This is the straight gate, hard to find and hard to get through, like a passage between two rocks. There must be a new heart and a new spirit, and old things must pass away. The bent of the soul must be changed, corrupt habits and customs broken off. What we have been doing all our days must be undone again. If we follow the multitude, it will be to do evil. If we go with the crowd, it will be the wrong way. It is natural for us to incline to go down the stream and do as the most do, but it is too great a compliment to be willing to be damned for company and to go to hell with them, because they will not go to heaven with us. If many perish, we should be the more cautious." Brothers and sisters, enter in through the narrow gate, or the narrow door. And you notice I drew something here? Exquisitely, correct? All right. And what is this? It's a door, and it's a big door, right? All right. This is what Jesus is talking about. And for my generation, the baby boomers, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Okay? Has things changed?
No.
Yes. It's sex, drugs, and rap, right? It's the same thing, right? And this is the door I was going through. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, okay? Until 33 years ago when our Lord Jesus touched me, okay? This is the other, it's a door also, right? A little door, right?
No doorknob.
No doorknob. Very, very observant, okay? And that's because we have to open our hearts, right? And I don't want to get into the theology of the pastor. We have to open our hearts because we have this wonderful gift of the forgiveness of sins offered to us in Jesus Christ, and it's free. But if I give you a present and you never open it, you're not going to experience the gift, right? It's the same with Jesus Christ. We have to say yes. We have to open the door and let Him in, okay? And this is completely contrary to the big door, okay? And in this door, and the door which Matthew Henry said so exquisitely, it's actually a relationship with Jesus Christ is the door. Conversion is how he mentioned it. But it's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you enter the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is here and now. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But it goes on forever. And where do you end up? In heaven, okay? Alrighty, if you take the big door and follow our culture and what everybody says, where are you going to end up?
Hell.
Very good, alright? Boy, you know there's... Now, believe me, Phoenix compared to hell is a wonderful place. Alright? Even in August, okay? So, but... this is what Jesus is talking about. He doesn't mince words, right? And there's so many churches that are afraid to preach this text, all right? This is what He's saying, all right? He goes on, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Is this politically correct? No. But who's our culture mad at? The guy who preaches it? The guy who preached it was Jesus. But they'll vent on the pastors who preach this, right? Or the churches that believe it, okay? But it's the truth. Because this is Jesus' sermon, right? Does Jesus lie? Impossible, because he's God, right? Once we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're saved. But in response to Jesus' love, we give him our lives. And we want to live and obey the Ten Commandments and be loving people because of his love for us. In response to his love, we become lovers. Amen? Bob Utley writes, the fact that the gate appears first and then away implies that this is referring to one's coming to know God in a personal way through Jesus' teachings and then living a new kingdom life. Then this would imply that the restricted nature of the gate was not rules like Pharisaic legalism, but lifestyle love flowing out of a relationship with Christ. Christ does have rules, but they flow from a changed heart. We come to God through Jesus as a free gift of God. But once we know him, it is the pearl of great price for which we sell all that we have to follow him. Salvation is absolutely free, but it costs everything that we are and have. Amen? And at the beginning of the sermon, I said the Lord's been working on me. And you'll say, the Lord works on pastors? Yes, believe it or not, we do not have it made, all right? Okay? We're just people. But during Lent, the 40 days before Easter, first of all, every week I watch the Book of Acts, either in English or Spanish, in the jails. And I also watched AD with Robin, and I think I saw the movie Christ the Apostle of Jesus, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, and what struck me about these guys is they were so sold out for Jesus. The apostles were so sold out for Jesus. And these were guys who were hiding before, right? And they were, their complete lives were consumed by Jesus Christ and their love for him. And then the Lord has Robin and I meet Roger Munchian, who goes to all the jails and prisons, and he's given over 100,000 Bibles to prisons and jails this year, okay? 100,000 Bibles, okay? And this was a guy who formerly was a murderer, actually, okay? Then Pastor Perry brought this book into my life, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, by Mark Cahill. And I've read that, and he sold out for Jesus Christ. From all this, the Lord's been telling me, what has happened to the church? Did Christ lower the bar? Did he just expect us to come to church on Sunday and that's it? No. We are the apostles today, right? He wants us sold out for Jesus Christ, and not just the pastors. He wants everybody. And that's what happens when we live in a relationship with him, right? And that brings me to this book. If you do not have this book, we have them in the back. Grab one on the way out. Great book. It'll tell you how to share your faith. Okay? On top of that, I was so impressed with the book, I ordered 400 tracts. Okay? And Pastor, the New Church Growth Movement says, oh, tracts are outdated, right? We have 400 tracts for our church to give out. If one soul is saved, is that a waste of time? No. If you're too bashful, when you go to a restaurant, just leave one on the table. Give them to your friends or family members. These are great, okay? The second greatest lie ever told, and 1 second after you. Give these to family members or friends that you're trying to reach. And you don't have to say anything. Just have them read it. And if they challenge you, just say, this is what I believe. And if you read this book, it's going to open your eyes more on how to use these things. Okay? And we have them back there on the table. And definitely get a copy of that book. We have them in English and Spanish. I didn't get Spanish tracts yet. Okay? But take the tracts you're going to use. Danny, don't take all of them, please. Okay. Here, I'll get you started. Okay. All righty. She's on the bus and she witnesses anyway. But the bottom line is, everybody we run into is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And with all of us here, if we can reach one soul, just one soul, it makes it all worth it, right? Amen? A great text, and I God's perfect timing. He's having me preach this at this time, okay? Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit you will recognize them. So how can we recognize a false prophet? By their fruit. So what is fruit? Eudley says, it is always difficult to identify false proclaimers because they usually have an element of truth in their message, and one is not always certain of their motives. No is emphatic, implying that believers can and must recognize false proclaimers. We can know them by their lifestyle priorities and their doctrinal teachings. It has often been questioned as to which of these make up one's fruit, when actually both do. So the measuring rod for our lives is the Word of God. Amen? Now, if a teacher's life or teachings is contrary to the Word of God, they are a false teacher. Okay? And we don't listen to them. And by some chance, Robert, if you end up in Oregon or Washington or you move out of state, you're looking for a church, go to one that teaches this book. Okay? The Word of God. All right? And you'll know. If we're in the Word of God studying, how many minutes a day?
15.
You'll know whether the pastor is preaching from the Bible or not. Amen? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And for this verse, I just quoted from our basics book. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe. His Holy Word... We believe His Holy Word and lead godly life here in time and there in eternity. The kingdom of God encompasses everyone and everything. It is big. The kingdom comes in the person of Jesus Christ to all who accept Him, who open the door. The key is to see with kingdom eyes and not the eyes of this world. When Christ returns, everyone will see and realize His reign or kingdom, some to their damnation and others to their salvation. Amen? So that talks about the kingdom of God and what we have in Jesus Christ, okay? Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, this is the saddest verse, okay? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Bob Eudley says it is obvious from Matthew 7:23 that they did not know Jesus in a personal way. Notice that the works they performed are godly works. But fruit without relationship is as abominable as relationship without fruit. These same types of miracles were performed by Jesus' true disciples, including Judas Iscariot. Miracles are not automatically a sign from God. Religious self-deception is a tragedy. It is shocking that these apparently effective religious leaders were totally independent of the power and person of Christ. So the question for us is, are we living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, or are we just doing religious activities? There is a difference, right, between a relationship with Jesus Christ and just having religious activities. And Kathy, will you please stand and share your story briefly?
I'd just like to share about you about having a relationship with Jesus. When I was a little girl, a neighbor invited me to come to church with them when I was 5 years old, and I got to see Jesus and meet Him and see that beautiful picture of Jesus. And from then, right then, I started loving Jesus and was very religious. I continued on through my life and went to church. I raised up my children in the church, and I was a really, really religious lady and really proud of it. I worked in my church. I gave my offering. But until I came here to Amazing Grace, I was missing something, and I didn't know what it was, so I walked through these doors, and I found out that it was the Holy Spirit. And I came here in kind of a strange way through the jail ministry. My son was in jail, Michael, and he wanted to come to church afterwards, and I could have never taken him to the other church that I used to go to because they just wouldn't have accepted them for all the rules and regulations they have. So there's a difference between religion and having a relationship with Jesus. Religion is man-made with man-made rules and controls and not a whole lot of love. It's just all rules. But a relationship is with Jesus, being able to just have that, be transformed by Jesus, not conformed by the rules. How do we do that? You know, we have to give up religion. I urge you to give up religion. There's nothing but to be a relationship with Jesus. But we can't do that by ourselves. And how do we do that? We study His Word. We read our Bibles. You know, we're so lucky. Bibles are available to us, and they're not available to everyone. And I'll tell you that nothing gives you a greater return for your time than reading God's Word. You want to get close to Him in prayer, and then do everything you do to the glory of God. You may need to praise God for everything, thank Jesus for His sacrifice, and invite the Holy Spirit, God's gift, into our life to help us. So I just encourage you to give up religion, start a relationship with God, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. So what is the rock? Jesus Christ, okay? We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ and build our lives on Him. The foundation upon the rock is prayer and His Word. That's the foundation we build on the rock, okay? And how many minutes a day in the Word? How many minutes a day praying? All right. You guys learn, okay? The house we build is our lives. If we have a relationship on Christ, we can endure all things. And in the end, we will live with Him forever and ever in heaven. Spurgeon says, many things which men call faith are not the precious faith of God's elect. Sincere trust in Jesus Christ is counterfeited in a thousand ways and often imitated so accurately that only by rigid self-examination can you discover the cheat. You must lie flat upon Christ the rock. You must depend entirely upon Him. All your hope and all your trust must be in Him. If you believe with the heart and not nominally, you are saved, but not otherwise. You must have true repentance and real faith, or you are foolish builders. Have you ever had to lay flat on the rock of Christ? Robin and I did this week. It's the only place to be, right? Has Jesus ever failed you or disappointed you? Never. Never. We fail ourselves and other people fail us. But Jesus never fails us. Amen? There was a poor man who once told a friend that some man had said the Bible was not true. Now, the poor man never thought the Bible could be untrue. So he responded by saying, that book not true? Why, I take it into my house and I sit down and read it. And it make my heart laugh. It make my heart laugh. How can it be a lie that make my heart laugh? I was a drunkard, a thief, and a liar. And that book taught to me and made me a new man. That book is no lie. When we read the Bible, we receive the Holy Spirit. And He changes our lives. You see why we harp on 15 minutes a day? We want all of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And He makes our hearts to laugh. And isn't that the truth? Amen. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Spurgeon says, these people went a long way in religion, and they kept it up a long while, but they were fatally mistaken. Fatally mistaken. Christ knows all who have ever sought his face with repentance and faith. But these people, though they had prophesied in his name, cast out devils, and done many wonderful things, have never repented or believed in Jesus. You were a stranger to me. You and I never exchanged a word with one another. We were not friends. You never leaned your head on my bosom. You had nothing to do with me, and now I have nothing to do with you. Do you see the self-deception in this with many people? It's going to be a shock, right? In 1849, there was a wagon train that was going through Death Valley in California for the gold rush. And the wagon train was in the middle of the desert and in Death Valley, and they saw a mirage. And they looked, and they thought it was a lake, and the name of the lake was Owens Lake. So they looked out and they saw Owens Lake. Well, they kept going and going, and it was never Owens Lake. And they were deceived by this mirage. The foundation for many people's spiritual journey is no more real than that mirage. Some people base their entire spiritual lives on illusions, whether it's the Psychic Friends Network or astrology, or some celebrity like Oprah, or some new claim to have special insight into the future. They are self-deceived and fatally mistaken. Yesterday at jail, I was preaching and we were talking about eternity, and I asked the guys, I said, have you ever done something, made a mistake, and you don't realize it until the next day? And one guy said, no, I've never made a mistake. And I said, you've never made a mistake? And he said, nope, never made a mistake. And I said, well, why are you here? Okay. And he said, I've never made a mistake. This is because of my wife, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you're a liar too, huh? And I kind of left it there because I was running out of time. But the bottom line is, well, I started to talk about how we're all sinners, you know, and every day we sin. You know, we all lie, we all gossip, we have lustful thoughts, etc. But the right response for him would have been, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Because there are people, if they feel they're righteous, and they've never made a mistake, you're throwing your pearls the swine, right? That struck me, though, yesterday, because isn't that our culture? Doesn't our culture say, I'm basically good, I've never really made a mistake? And the bottom line is we're all sinners. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, right? So you can pray for that guy. I don't know what his name is, but he's getting out Monday. So I guess that means he's never made any mistakes for him, okay?
He'll be back.
Sadly, you're probably right. Yeah. Okay. Maybe he'll discover Jesus next time. We'll see. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Matthew Henry says, Christ delivered his discourse as a judge gives his charge. He did indeed deliver his discourses with a tone of authority. His lessons were law, his word a word of command. Christ upon the mountain showed more true authority than the scribes and Moses teach. Thus, when Christ teaches by his spirit in the soul, he teaches with authority. He says, let there be light, and there is light. And this is what the Pharisees didn't understand. That Jesus is God. And he spoke with authority. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He was there with Abraham. Okay. So can we trust His word? Yes. Even these words? Yes. A relationship with Jesus is an adventure. And I don't want you to be scared, but you're missing His adventure. I mean, my goodness. You know, we had Bruce's testimony on Easter. Bruce, hasn't your life been an adventure since then? It's just crazy, isn't it? Just crazy. Laughter is your heart is laughing, okay? Because you find yourself doing things you never thought, right, Pastor Robert? Okay? The fact that I'm calling you Pastor Robert is just 5 years ago, you would have laughed if I said that, okay? So plan on... Yeah, did you ever think you'd be giving your testimony on Easter Sunday? Wow. So plan on having a laughing heart, plan on being changed. And you'll have a laughing heart, not just now, but forever. Today, accept Jesus. Today, we can accept the rock and build our lives on Him. And maybe some of us are here today and we just need to lay flat on that rock, and that's fine, okay? But let us pray, okay? Lord Jesus, You are the rock. You are the great I Am. And You died on a cross for us and rose from the dead so that we can live in relationship with You here and now. And that this relationship will go on forever. In this day, Lord, we open the doors of our heart even more. If we've opened them in the past, we open them even wider. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and take complete charge of us, Lord. We want You to operate and run our lives, Lord, because we're completely incompetent. We ask that You take our lives. We want to enter into that ever-changing adventure, Lord. We want You to put Your laughter in our hearts so that even in the face of hard times, even in the face of cancer, we can have laughing hearts, Lord. We praise You, Lord Jesus, and we give You glory. And this day, we give You our lives. And we pray all of this in Your precious name. Amen.